The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 467. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Joining us right as the show begins, Mr. Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
And of course, Brian Mungioma.
And just like that, Ubisoft wipe out all the good graces they built in the last 2 months.
Oh, man. We will talk about that, you know? Ubisoft. I'm not soft. Ubisoft, you know? All right, people, we're back with another one. Hope everybody had a good Martin Luther King off day.
That was Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah. I have a dream. Remember that Boondocks episode of Martin Luther King? It's hilarious, man.
That was great. Like, what if Martin Luther King came back to life and then he's just like,
I can't even quote the shit he was saying. Remember the church scene at the end? Will y'all please shut the hell up?
Everybody's all like appalled at the way he's talking.
Hilarious. I'm going to Canada. We're at the end. Oh, man. Right. Shout out to everybody on the Twitch and the YouTubes. We are on both platforms again. Let's get into it, man. So you already know what happened. The Xbox Developer Direct was today. I haven't been on Twitter too much, so I don't know what ensued from that. So maybe you guys should tell me. But anyway, this is directly from Xbox's website, listing everything it talked about. So if anything's missing here, blame Xbox. All right, because I didn't get to see this thing. All right, first up, we got Avowed. It is launching in the fall of 2024. Ooh, there we go.
What's actually kind of interesting about, I mean, I'm sure this was like the last time too, but all of the stuff that they've announced, they're all coming out this year at some point.
That's good. Hopefully they'll stick to it. Unlike last time. Remember the 1 year plan? Mm-hmm. Nothing came out.
Literally the 1 year plan where nothing came out.
You know, and it's funny about that because, we've gotten a couple questions or a lot of questions about that, you know, sporadically, like, you know, why don't these studios just make a plan and let us see it? It's like, even if they make a plan, that doesn't mean they're going to stick to it. You know, game development isn't like movie development.
Even movie development isn't like that either. It's like these things sort of happen. It's just like you got to realize that also as the games get larger, you know, as all this stuff happens. There's going to be some sort of delay if not, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you guys see anything that, you know, excited you about Avowed? Anything that stood out that was interesting?
I like that.
Go ahead, Carlos.
They're doing the whole thing. First of all, does this game look like it's an Unreal Engine 5 game? Because when I was looking at it and by the way, another thing. Yo, man, make these streams higher than 1080p because even the playback, when you're trying to look at the gameplay, it looks all funky.
That's not good.
Yeah, so maybe I should check out maybe they have like dedicated videos for the actual game instead of the press conference.
You can watch a replay of it and then it's in a higher resolution.
Yeah, because the replay for the direct itself is still the same. But maybe I should just go to the individual sites. But yeah.
You go to the individual ones and they'll be in a higher resolution, yeah.
Yeah.
I went to look over the Senua Sacrifice stuff. Like I went to their site, Ninja Theory's site, YouTube just to look at it and mm-hmm. get some good screenshots off of it.
Oh, so this was like a developer there was it. Because I'm looking at the
was a bunch of different developers showing what they're working on.
Yeah. No, because
I did it last year.
Yeah. Because I'm seeing the video I'm watching right now is like a mix of like gameplay and like developers playing it going, look at our game.
That. Yeah, like Yeah, that's what they did. They had a little bit of a column A and a little bit of column B in there in their footage.
So Tony, if you scroll through the footage and when you see at the gameplay, to you, does it look like it's from Unreal 5? Because for me, like, it's like every tech demo from Unreal 5 kind of looks like that same level. That
shit don't do does not look like Unreal 5 at all.
I don't know. It seems like Unreal 5 has like a default like a layout for a level, and it feels like a lot of the newer games are kind of following the same pattern.
Rocky level.
Yeah, the rocky terrain, sand-ish type level. This
seems to have some of that too, but it doesn't look like Unreal 5, man. Like, when you see Unreal 5, you're like, holy shit, you know? Like, this just looks like a...
Maybe it's running on the S.
Maybe it is.
The combat looks interesting. It's a lot more thorough than what they did, because the only thing that I played from Obsidian is New Vegas.
Yeah.
So... The gameplay mechanics, the fighting mechanics, look a lot more robust than something that they've done in the past. And they also emphasize a lot on storytelling and sort of decision making. So there we go, Brett. We're getting the Baldur's Gate 3-ification of gaming with this. This probably
was developed maybe the Baldur's Gate 3-ification of gaming.
Baldur's 3-ification.
The fuck does that even mean?
Like the decisions matter, although you can take so many paths, not all lead to the same place.
The Witcher did it.
Okay, side note, I am fucking sick of whatever Gen Z bullshit that is that keeps finding things and assuming this is like the first goddamn time you've ever seen, but like, oh, this is the RPG of gamification. First time decisions matter. Like y'all didn't fucking play Mass Effect. Like, that shit didn't exist. It's like every time Disney's like, hey, we have the first blank, blank, blank hero ever in our new fucking hero. See, like, I'm just sick of people rediscovering old shit and acting it's like a fucking new. And the Baldur's Gateification of gaming is fucking bullshit. It's been around. It's not a Baldur's Gate thing. It's a creative video game thing that y'all abandoned because you thought the other way made more fucking money. Don't act like this is a new and novel concept to try and sweep under the rug the fact that you just ditched this shit like 10, 20 years ago.
I call that, Brett, speaking about ifications, I call that the year zero-fication that people like to do. You know what I mean by year zero, right? Nothing existed before this time. This all dude, you know? So
Yeah. They're like, oh, this is, like, dude, I literally saw a video, and I'm not sure, like, this almost had to be rage-inducing bait, but, like, they were talking about, like, They were looking at the camera and they're like, so I went to like get this new music, this like CD, and I found this like little thing, this little box, and I asked them like what it was, and they're like, it's a tape, it has music on it. And you're like, how do you put, you can't put music on tape? And then they said it's something called a cassette tape. Wait. And I'm sitting there just like, phew, like turning red. I'm like,
what?
Jesus fucking red. And the whole thing was like, he was like, introducing, like, check out this thing I found, guys. Like it's this brand new fucking thing that just they unearthed, they dusted the sand off. They're like, oh, it's a cassette tape. It has cassette music tape. On tape somehow. Like, you don't understand, like, how tape, like, the sticky stuff, how you put music on there, and, like, how it was all in a little square. But, like, and he was introducing it. He was showing it to people. Like, it was a new thing. And this got views. People viewed this.
This is the equivalent of this stupid bitch on TikTok that discovered silent walking. You know what silent walking is? Goes, oh my God, guys, my headphones ran out of juice and I just walked outside with my own thoughts. Oh my God. Now other people are doing it. Bitch, we've been doing that as a species for 250,000 years. Like, what the fuck?
You know? Mean you discovered normal?
Normal.
And now
yeah.
Oh, all right, we're all going to clap for you.
Yeah,
yes.
And I predict this too, Brett. Silent showering is going to be a thing next. fucking Gen people Z, man. With
music?
Yeah, without music. It's just no, like...
I'm saying people shower with music.
Who knows, man.
That's a thing?
Yeah, they probably do. These fucking weirdos. Anyway, no, Carlos, this is not a Baldur's Gate 3-ification. This is just RPG-ification.
Oh, no. The reason why I mentioned this is because
we had a discussion. On it, right? Is that the focus on it, you mean?
Yeah, well, we had a discussion about this, like, what is it, like months ago, where someone asked a question. It's like, remember that developer said that people can't make games like Baldur's Gate?
Yeah,
the
yeah,
developer
yeah.
said they can't make. And Brett said, it's like, well, they should. And I'm like, well, and then Valet said, hold my beer.
Yeah, but again, this shit's because, been in games forever, though. Dialogue,
but you know, certain video games popularize shit even more so than the Switch. The Steam Deck only came out because of the Switch, but the Switch wasn't the first one.
Yeah,
like, well, it's all that stuff.
It's a return. Like, I'm glad that it's there. Don't get me wrong. I am super glad that it's there. But like, people acting like it's this long lost fucking art. Like,
it's not.
It's here's the thing. For the longest time, those of us who are elder gamers, what lived through a time when we thought this was going to be the norm. We had the Mass Effects of the world, the Dragon's Age, and like all kinds of games where you affected things in a storyline. And we assumed in a medium that was active, like video games, where you are an active participant, that the norm would become that our decisions matter. And that games branched out, and that we had things like Assassin's Creed, where we could attack a situation in a dozen different ways, right? But then it all started whittling down to the same fucking way, and now again we're rediscovering something, but it's abandoned. It's been here.
No, that idea. No, Brett, it's never been. Larian obviously invented it. It's the Black Panther of RPGs. Yes. You gotta get over it.
By the way, I call that segment, Brett, whenever you're talking about like the old school stuff, it's not Brett's soapbox, it's Brett's tree stump. You're an old man sitting on a tree stump on a hill surrounded by children. Let me tell you a story. I'm you're holding the stick too, you know? Like,
by the way, man. Tony.
Yeah.
Can you tell me right now which engine this is made off of? I know the answer.
Here's the thing. There's a couple of parts that look like Unreal 5. It looks like it's definitely Unreal. I'll give you that. It definitely looks like Unreal, but...
It's Unreal 5.
Man, what happened? what happened?
Yo, but I'm telling you,
I'll tell you what happened. They're actually making games with it, not making tech demos.
Yeah, probably right.
I saw this when they showed this trailer when I was watching the stream. I'm like, yo, it looks like the same level they used for the tech demo.
Yeah.
It's like they just added different shit, and then I searched it. Yeah,
Unreal 5.
Funny enough, it's Unreal 5. Yeah,
yeah, but some I don't know, it looks gimped, man. I don't know. Anyway, anything else you guys want to say about Avowed?
Don't really care.
Yeah, same here. All right, here we go. Here's something we do care about: Senua Saga. We got a release date, people.
Yeah, we did. We got a release date,
May 21st. Your boy, you know I'm going to be on that shit. I love how all these things say join Game Pass.
They
I'm
also, buying that they fucking also, game, bro. They
oh, there's controversy about it, by the way.
They one thing before that, they not only did they give a release date, but they also gave a pricing.
Well, that's part of the controversy.
Is it? What's controversial about it? It was $50 before.
It's $50 because it's just digital, no physical. People are very upset about that.
But it was $50 before.
Yeah, no, and it was also just regular, right? It wasn't like a real game. It was just digital, right?
No, they eventually released the physical edition.
Yeah.
But
so
no,
maybe that'll happen. But yeah, that was the controversy. Not the price. It was just the fact that it's not a real game, you know?
I mean, it's...
But listen, you're gonna enjoy owning nothing, according to Ubisoft. You know, we will talk about that.
Well, no, you have to get used to not owning what you buy. That's what they said.
Dumbass comment. But yeah, Senua's,
they need to get used to not making money because of with comments like that.
Yo, niggas not making money. Where's the trailer for the? Did they release a new trailer for this thing?
It was not a trailer. It's not really a trailer. It's more like a
Or more developer shit.
More developer shit, like a making of, and then they also show you like new bits of gameplay in there.
Yeah, they do show new gameplay for this.
Anything cool?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it looks like there's another character in it. Finally, you know, she's not just talking to herself, like you know.
Apparently, this game's going to be as long as the other one, 8 hours.
Yeah, they say about 8 hours. So that's good. You know, it's
good. Crank that out in a day. You know.
Yeah,
that's good.
You know, you could subscribe to Xbox Game Pass, right? And then that same day, you can for what is it, $15-$16? And
yeah, I saw you telling people in the chat about that. That's kind of funny.
I mean, come on, you could literally do that. Like, if you don't like that price, for some weird reason, you know. All right, just pay $15, and it's a game that can be beaten in 8 hours. So it's just like if you're playing normal timing, you could literally complete that in a week.
Yeah.
Some people binge it in one night, but
I could do that shit in a day. If I got a Saturday, I could do that. I'd do it. I probably could do it faster than 8 hours. I guarantee you that. It's like, all right. Anyway, where's the new shit trailer at? Is this it? What? Oh, here we. It's playing. Here we go. 4 hours. Goddamn. Oops, sure. People heard that. Ninja Theory. All right, here we go. Looks good. You already know I'm already down for this fucking game. Wait, I've seen this
before. I can't wait for that free trial of Game Pass.
I think I've seen this shit before. No, I'm not. I'm not subscribing to Game Pass. I'll buy the game. Fuck that.
I mean,
shit.
You don't even have. Well, you still have an Xbox.
I don't have an Xbox.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I mean, I have an Xbox, but it's Xbox One piece of trash. You know, I have a PC. I don't need an Xbox. All right.
I'm not PC.
Oh man, you can play Xbox games on your PC.
You know. So as they did that shit, I'm like, okay, I don't need an Xbox anymore. All right, next up here we have Aura Histories Untold. Is that the whole name of the fucking game? Aura History Untold's Historical Grand Strategy.
Isn't this just Age of Empires?
Yeah, it's Age of Empires by one of the companies that made Age of Empire.
Like Aura
History Untold. That's all it looks like. Yeah, the name is weird.
Okay, no, it's just I was just reading the headline here. So the name is Aura History Untold. Coming to PC.
And then they also they already have an abbreviation for it. It's like just Aura.
It's Aura, yeah. So it's just Civilization. Is that what it is?
Oh, it's just Age of Empires.
It's Age of Empires. Yeah.
Okay. I see fucking Egypt covered in snow here.
You see Egypt, okay. And, you know, the chains are on, you know, stuff.
But it's snowing in Egypt. Yay. All right.
I mean, there's all kinds of incongruities. I wonder if you can make a pyramid in the middle of your, you know, one of your places there.
Yeah. What's going on, Blitz? My man. I know he's upset about Senua's Sacrifice not coming physical.
It's unfortunate. But, I mean, again, the first one didn't come physical until later either, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, what else do we have here? We have Visions of Mana, RPG on an Xbox. JRPG, I should say, on an Xbox.
Yeah, it's a Mana game. That's on there. They obviously want to maximize their, you know, the things that they're putting it out on. So there it is on your Xbox.
Why doesn't Xbox's own website have trailers for these fucking? I have to go to other places to find trailers. This is stupid.
Yeah, on their own YouTube, they just have the whole feature.
Yeah, no.
They don't have the thing.
So does Vision of Mana look like the old Mana games?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, to be honest, it looks a little more like the Dragon Quest VIII to me, you know, but it's an action RPG as the Mana games were.
Yeah.
You know, nice art style. It's very, cool. You know, painted looking, you know, sort of anime graphics. It looks good.
I wonder if Xbox fans will even play this. We've seen the history of,
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not an exclusive. It's not an exclusive. It's coming out for other consoles too.
Okay, so it doesn't matter then.
No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice, but you know, how many these games are kind of a dime a dozen nowadays? You know,
the anime
action anime? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they are, but I mean, like a lot of them don't have the lineage of a Mana game.
Yeah, so. I think it's a difference. But you know what I mean?
It's not like a Genshin Impact sort of deal, you know?
No, it's not. But, you know, even like stuff I like Tales of and stuff like that, it's like it's a lot of those type of games. But you're right, the legacy's there. All right, so there you go. There's the Visions of Mana. I was going to say Secret of Mana. Okay, we already talked about Aura. Oh, here we go. Indiana Jones, man, your favorite game.
Yeah, I mean, you know what disappointed me? As soon as they ran it.
First person.
Yep.
Yep. And I thought you were gonna say they showed a what's his name? Harrison Ford is likeness on it.
Yeah, I mean he looked okay. You know, he kind of sounded like Harrison Ford. he sounded more like young Harrison Ford than Harrison Ford with the CG shit on his face playing a young Harrison Ford in the recent movie.
It's Troy Baker voicing him, by the way.
No, it's Troy Baker. It sounds like Troy Baker.
Yeah.
But it sounds like he's also sort of doing a Harrison Ford impression.
I'm sure Brian's excited about this.
Is your boy Troy Baker?
I actually didn't even notice. I was more annoyed by the nonsense that the devs were talking about and how they wanted a accurate to the time frame of that type of stuff, but yet the sidekick chick has a 2020 haircut. So I'm like, okay, shut up.
Yeah, here we go.
I noticed that straight away, and then Tony, you can probably envision the type of person that was telling us about that.
I already know it in my head what you're talking about.
Yeah. Apart from that, it seems cool. You know, it's a cool idea. Let's see how the puzzles are, because I'm all concerned about how interesting the puzzles will actually be. Like, will they actually be good ones, or will they be bad ones like Uncharted, where they just tell you the answer?
Yeah, they go. Yeah. You just stand there long enough, and they're like, "Oh, hey, by the way, have you tried pressing this?" Like, God damn it, stop it! Didn't they eventually Uncharted had ability to turn off the hints in the game because the game was so obnoxious.
Yeah, you could turn them off. It's a bummer that it's first person though.
Yeah, I kind of want to, kind of want to see Indy.
But maybe they did that so it differentiates it itself from like Tomb Raider and Uncharted.
Or Uncharted, yeah. I mean,
those games are trying to be like, Indiana Jones. So
I'm gonna say this. The one thing about it is, though, that company is also known for doing sort of first-person games, so it makes sense that they're sort of doing it. You know what I mean?
Which company is this?
The same company that did the New World Order. The Wolfenstein game.
Id Software?
No, not Id. The guys who've been doing the recent
Machine Games.
Machine Game thing.
Yeah, Machine Games. Yeah, those guys, Id Software has just been publishing them. Machine Games is the one that's been developing those games.
Gotcha.
So it feels like it makes sense for them, but I would prefer if it didn't. Was it a first person game? But then again, that's them.
All right, so there you go, Indiana Jones. Don't care.
Yep, Indiana Jones. It looked interesting. They just showed them, whipping and punching people.
Yeah.
Though I would have to say that their punching noise was not beefy enough, and they need to get that really beefy punch noise from the Indiana Jones movies going.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna just read this because it seems there's other stuff. Blizzard held a Diablo 4 developer update live stream earlier today that dug into the horrors awaiting you beneath the sands of the horrors of playing the game, I guess.
Yes, the horrors of playing that game, yes.
Let me tell you about the horrors of playing this game.
Yeah, so that's coming for whoever cares. It's coming January 23rd, that's next week.
More Diablo?
Okay, that's just Diablo, fuck about that. Shortly after developer ZeniMax Online Studios kicked off the Elder Scrolls Online 2024 global reveal, unveiling the game's next major chapter, including the new zone, storyline, and other major features if you care about that. And then the last thing to say here is today marks just a small selection of the games coming to Xbox this year with our own studios and our incredible partners bringing a different whatever cares. All right, so there you go. What would you guys think of the direct overall?
I mean, it looked interesting. They had some things. It was nice to hear about stuff that's coming out pretty soon, as opposed to like, oh, 2026.
Yeah,
When
is this game coming? Why don't you tell us?
Yeah.
Indiana Jones got a release date, right?
It's coming out late this year.
Yeah, 2024. That's all you get. Okay, so go ahead.
They said late 2024. So
yeah, right here it just says 2024. Nothing else. Aura, that's fall. Mana is summer. Hellblade is May 21st. And Avowed is fall. So there you go. It's obviously the one I'm looking forward to is Senua's Saga. And we'll see about Mana. Because, mainly, like you said, the legacy's there. But Indiana Jones, I don't care. Don't care about Aura. Don't care about what's the first game? I'm not gonna say I don't care about Avowed. I'm just not interested. I don't know if that's the same thing, but to me it's a difference. Damn it, because I could become interested if I said I don't care. Then I'm done. If I don't care, then I'm not. Then I don't care. But if I say I'm not interested, I could be persuaded otherwise.
If this game is gonna come out fall 2024, then we'll probably get some more from this game during the Summer Games Fest time.
Yeah. You know, and I hate to bring up PlayStation, but I have to. What do they have coming out this year?
We don't know.
Yeah.
The Last of Us 2 Remastered, Tony? Come on.
Yeah, yeah. What are you talking about, yo?
That new hotness, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So such a big graphical leap.
So are they calling it a remaster or a remake?
It's a remaster. Oh,
this one, okay. They humbled themselves and decided to call this one a remaster.
Yeah, so they could call the remake later on, I guess.
Yeah, so they can sell that in 2020.
It's just a remaster. All it is just a native running version of the game. It doesn't have ray tracing. They have some better texture quality, some shit, better shadow stuff, but it's really there is absolutely no real reason to get it if you've already owned the game for PlayStation 4.
You didn't need to own the remake of 1 either, you know?
No, you didn't need that, but I mean, like, at least there was a little time, there was some time between that one. This one is just like 2 years later, 3 years later.
Uh-oh, hold on. Controversy in the chat.
Uh-oh.
So you know Blitz, he's a huge Last of Us fan. Huge, right?
Tumeke.
So he says right here, you know I'm a huge Last of Us fan and the remaster is out here now and I'm not picking it up. Uh-oh.
Well, I mean,
let's throw down a question.
What
is that?
You have sense though. Like you already just played that game. Like what? Like if they're not offering anything special, like special from the previous one, and I'm not talking about that goofball horde mode. Yeah, like the horde mode or whatever the roguelike mode. There's nothing really for you if you've already owned the game.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, that's exactly what he says, man. Too soon.
Yeah, it's too soon. Like you know, like I'd see if they were really offering something. Like if that came with that their online mode or whatever that they sort of scrapped. Like if it had something more to it than just, hey, look, we just put it on the new console. I mean, then who cares? Like, why are we even doing this? Damn thing already runs on a PlayStation PlayStation 5 already. It has a patch on it that runs it at a higher resolution and all that shit.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I'm tired of that franchise.
Yeah, it's only up to 2. And you're like, man, I'm done.
Ironic, ironic that I'm saying that since I'm going to be on an award show with Neil Druckmann next week.
Ah!
Stay tuned for the New York Video Game Critics Circle Awards coming to you on Twitch on Tuesday, people.
We'll see if we can get a really good micro expression out of you this time around on stage.
Yeah, you're obsessed with that. You know,
it's hilarious because you're just sitting there, you're like goofing off on the stage.
I had no idea what I was doing. But since you brought up, I'll make sure I have just a stone face the entire time, you know?
Yeah, there you go. You know, and then Neil Druckmann will stop you in the hall and be like, I heard what you said about my game.
Yeah.
Like, what I'm you a genius.
Do? Yeah, what you going to do about it?
I'm a genius.
Two games with 5 official versions. Jesus, that's crazy, man. They're really milking that fucking franchise.
You're just going to depend on you're just going to let Insomniac just, you know, blow you out of the water with a bunch of licensed games?
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing?
Don't forget the DLC. That counts, right? Oh, man. All right. Okay. So the whole conversation about Xbox going third party has not stopped. Still going. Remember, we talked about that last on the question show. And that popped off while I was over at CES, but yeah. So again, this whole thing started, you know, with the rumor, and it's still a rumor that Hi-Fi Rush is coming to Switch and
PlayStation.
And I just heard about Switch, but and then that's escalated, and then Mr. Satya Nadella, who I saw at CES, he kind of threw a little bit more fuel into that shit, saying that Microsoft can now be a quote good publisher on Sony and Nintendo. Very interesting.
Uh-oh. I wonder if he knows what he's talking about.
I'm like, yo, you're the head of Microsoft, bro. You better know what the fuck you're talking about. You know?
Because that says a lot.
Yeah, check this out. I'm going to read his quote here. So he's talking to Bloomberg with this. We love gaming. In fact, Flight Simulator was created even for Windows, but we were number 3, number 4, and now with Activision, I think we have a chance of being a good publisher, quite frankly, on Sony and Nintendo and PCs and Xbox. We're excited about that acquisition closing in and glad we got it through. Very interesting. Now, obviously, we know Call of Duty is still going to be published on PlayStation. They even said we're going to have, you know, Call of Duty on Nintendo for whatever that's worth. So we already knew that was coming. But again, it's just very interesting to hear this statement come out after this whole hubbub about, you know, Xbox going third party, you know?
I don't think it's Xbox going third party. I think he's going to offer some of the Activision IPs as like Minecraft. It's going to be licenses.
Yeah,
I think I that's what's happening.
Very interesting. But yeah, here's the thing. And I actually, we have an article coming out on Tom's Guide over the weekend talking about, you know, Xbox going third party. And I, you know, I was asked to contribute to it. I did. That's when I go in there. I'm like, I don't have anything to say. Then I wrote a whole fucking thing about it. My thing is, I, you know how it is, man. So basically, I still maintain that Xbox won't go third party because you got to understand who is Xbox under. Microsoft. Microsoft has a lot of fucking money. They're not. They are not going to go bankrupt if the Xbox division isn't making a lot of money. You know, they could just keep just the same way. The same way fucking Disney props up Marvel Comics. Marvel Comics doesn't bring in shit, but it doesn't really kill Disney, you know, to keep it around. Kind of the same thing with Xbox, but Xbox is profitable, though. It's not like hemorrhaging money or anything. So, you know, like I've always said, Xbox's biggest exclusive is Microsoft's money. So they're not going to – it's not going to be a case of like, hey, you're losing us money. You know, like the Microsoft shareholders are still very happy with the company. You know, there are no Xbox shareholders. You buy Microsoft stock, you know. So that's why I'm like, that's not going to happen. But at the same time, you know, Microsoft is a software company. So it also wouldn't surprise me if you see shit like Game Pass on PlayStation. But as we've seen, Sony and Nintendo are not interested in that, you know. So
they're like, how dare you?
Yeah, they're like, no, we don't want that trash here, please, you know. So I don't think they're going to go third. Yes, I don't think they're going to go third party yet. For a while, we'll see. All right. Do you guys have any thoughts on this ongoing, you know, craziness about Xbox going third party?
If it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. That's why I see it. You know.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter. But you know, I go ahead, Carlos.
It could just be them because we know that Call of Duty is going to be third party for a while. Minecraft's been third party for a while.
Yeah.
And some of those other games will be. But it could also mean that it's just their wink, wink way of saying, well, we're trying to get a Game Pass into the PlayStation. Mm. But, you know, Jimbo Fisher Ryan won't let us do it.
Well, Jimbo ain't there no more, you know, or won't be. And that's the other thing I brought up in my little blurb there, too. I said, in a way, my Xbox is already a third-party developer, you know? So they're already there, and if you really want to be technical about it.
See, that's where I come from. Like, not only do they want to be a third-party developer, they want to be the third-party other people. Like, they want to... It's not that they want to join it. They want to be it. They want their thing pervasive across all systems. So, like, yes, an Xbox Game Pass on a PlayStation would be a win for them, in their opinion. It wouldn't be them selling out.
Yeah.
It would be the plan. You know what I mean? There's like a difference.
Again, they're a software company at the end of the day. I know they make hardware too. I understand that. But they're primarily a software company. Windows.
It's not about hardware anymore. It's about platform. As a platform is across multiple pieces of hardware and persists across upgrades.
Yeah.
This is what they've learned. So like, they're ahead of the game in that sense, in that they know a platform is more valuable than any piece of hardware singular. And it creates a customer in an ecosystem that perpetuates itself. So a platform is in every single way better. It is kind of the next evolution, right? Like, and I think not recognizing that not only stops you from seeing the playing field for what it really is, but it kind of blinds you to a lot of, I think, the way the industry is moving in the future. Like, I think Steam really proved that. Like, Steam is pervasive, right? Like, everybody's wanted to be Steam. Everybody's wanted to be Netflix. Everybody's wanted to be these things that, honestly, they've tested. They've passed the test of time. They've been around for a while. Like, Netflix is not going anywhere. It's not going bankrupt. The idea of streaming content is here to stay. So, like, I don't disagree with their idea fundamentally that a platform is probably the single most valuable thing that you can develop. I disagree because I think that that idea has obfuscated, at least for them, the ability to build a console from kind of the gamer's point of view up. Like, I think that's why we got the TV, 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 TV. And I think they've learned that lesson now, slowly, that you need to build something that, you know, you need to build something that's console and gamer friendly and things like that. Like, you need to build the platform from the physical means up. Like, yeah, you gotta build the console first before you can develop the platform that then sticks with people. So hopefully now they've got the right idea. They seem to be trying a lot. The only thing I can see that would be, honestly, I feel like this is going to kind of be mildly disruptive, but pretty much it's like a slow motion car crash. We all know where it's going. Is it going to kind of change things? Yeah, but real slow. I think the only thing that really disrupt that would be like Steam entering the console race, which I desperately want to happen.
Yeah, but with that said, we all know that Microsoft already said they're working on another Xbox. Remember the leak that happened. You know, we see what the next console looks like. It looks like a fucking cylinder. So we are going to get another Xbox. They're not bowing out of the console race just yet, as much as some people may want, you know. Let me read some of the comments here, because I think maybe there's some disagreement with what we're saying here. Jay Shep says, I wonder how many people need to say it before it's true. It may take a while, but I think it'll happen eventually. That's what Blitz says. Jay Shep says, I think people will fight it until it happens. Then they'll say, we been knew this would happen. Okay. Again, like I said, I don't think it'll happen, but I also won't be surprised if it does happen, because Microsoft is still a software company. This has been my position for years, you know?
But Microsoft wants it. Like, that's their goal. Like, how do you define? Okay, so, like, how do you define that? Like, Microsoft wants to be pervasive. They want to be on everything. They want to be third party. They don't want to just be a hardware manufacturer.
Yeah.
So if they become
I think they're trying to have their cake and eat it too. Here's an Xbox, but we're also on this too, you know?
I think the only reason the Xbox is there is to help them develop the platform. Because if they could just develop a gaming platform without the Xbox, without the manufacturing needs, without the research needs, without any of that, if they could develop a brand and a platform that is half functional and develop actually decent games, that would be kind of a holy grail, man. That's the gold goose. That's just going to keep printing money. Like, that's how you win. And I think they've recognized that. But which is why they're trying to do. Like, but it's easier to just be like, produce good games. It's easier to say than it is to do, obviously.
Yeah. Here's another statement from Mr. Nadella. We think that now we have the ability to do what we always set out to do, which is build great games and deliver them to folks across all platforms, which is Xbox and consoles. PCs, mobile gaming, and cloud gaming. Notice consoles was plural, you know? He said Xbox and consoles. So here's the thing. Microsoft wants this, right? But again, I don't see them completely bowing out of the hardware race just yet. We know they're coming out with another console, but I won't be surprised if eventually it happens.
What do the two have in common? Like, what am I missing? What do the two have in common? Like, do people assume that, like, somehow Microsoft giving out, like, they're just going to be like, oh shucks, we're gonna not make consoles anymore and just make video games instead, when they could just be like, let's do both.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Why
with
would
you.
They not do, like, as you as Tony said, well, I just want to put a different light on what you said, Tony, like, why would you not do both?
Yeah,
you have the money.
Yep,
you have the manpower. You have the market, at least a little bit. You have your foot into the market share. Any more ground that you can take is a good thing. Like, why would you not? Why would there possibly not be another Xbox?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, again, and again, we know this. Jay Shep says the way he says Xbox and consoles is a little sus. I don't think it's sus. He's telling you exactly what they want. They want to have an Xbox and to put their shit on other consoles too.
Well, no, he's also telling you exactly how they view it. Again, when I'm talking about platform, like, that's what I mean. Like, he wants it on their platform and consoles. Like, you can tell that's the way that they're thinking about it by the wording.
Yeah. So, you know, again, you know, obviously it's going to be a big deal because, you know, people need to make it a big deal. But, this has been, again, if you've been listening to Throwdown for any long amount of time, people, we've been saying this for years, you know, this is their play. Why not say Xbox and other consoles? But why would you, that you're kind of splitting hairs there though, bro.
Okay, Tony, so here's what I'm curious
about. By the way, Brett, you and I are in agreement, just to get that straight.
I think we're definitely in agreement. I was actually trying to support you from a different point. Like, we usually walk different paths, but we kind of got together on this one. Like, so here's my question for you. When this inevitably happens, like, everybody, like, Microsoft wants it to, like, you know, when it happens and the Twitter fanboys look at the market and they're like, obviously, Xbox was defeated. They bowed out of the race. Like, How do we respond?
That's a good question. I guess we'll answer that when it comes to it. But yeah, I know, because that is going to happen. Like, when the day comes that Microsoft stops developing an Xbox and Xbox is just, you know, like you said, a brand. Hey, download the Xbox app on your TV. Download it on your phone. Right? You know they're going to be fucking celebrating. Ha ha! They lost. They lost. You know, we won. Celebrating the streets and all that. But yeah, how do we respond to them? It's like, actually, I know how I'm going to respond to them. We've been telling you this shit for 10 years on Throwdown. That's how I'm going to respond, you know?
Fair.
We've been saying this. We've been saying this, to be specific, ever since Microsoft started putting their games on PC. That's when we're like, oh, this is where they're going. That was 2015, you know? That's why I'm glad we've been doing Throwdown this long. We got the receipts. It's all there. We've been saying this shit, you know? But yeah, it'll be interesting. Hopefully, by the time that does happen, Twitter won't even exist anymore. Won't that be good for the world, you know?
I mean, it's X now, so.
Oh, boy. X on Xbox? I don't know.
No.
Don't. All right. Let's get to some stupid stuff here. We got to talk about Ubisoft. Brian, here we go. So a Ubisoft executive says gamers need to get... Yo, Blitz, get ready, son. Ubisoft executive says gamers need to get comfortable not owning their games for subscriptions to take off. Uh-oh. This caused a firestorm, man. Whenever I logged into Twitter, I wasn't able to go on Twitter. Literally every time I went on there, it was two things. Ubisoft was dominating the whole fucking scene. It was either... you know, black hair, black people, dread hair and shit. And this, you know, fucking crazy, man. All right, I'm going to read this. This is from IGN. An executive at Assassin's Creed maker Ubisoft has said, you could have just said Ubisoft, bro, has said gamers will need to get comfortable not owning their games before a video game subscription can take off. Speaking to discuss the launch of the new Ubisoft Plus Premium and Ubisoft Plus Classic subscriptions. Yay, more subscriptions. Here we go. Felipe Tremblay, Director of Subscriptions at Ubisoft. I didn't realize that was a title. Explained to Game Industry Biz what needs to happen. So it is what he says. I don't have a crystal ball, but when you look at the different subscription services that are out there, we've had a rapid expansion over the last couple of years, but it's still relatively small compared to the other models. We're seeing expansion on consoles and the likes on PlayStation and Xbox bringing new people in on PC. From a Ubisoft standpoint, it's already been great, but we are looking to reach out more on PC, so we see opportunity there. He goes on to say, one of the things we say is that gamers are used to a little bit like DVD having and owning their games. That's a consumer shift that needs to happen. They got comfortable not owning their CD collection or DVD collection. That's a transformation that's been a bit slower to happen in games. As gamers grow comfortable in that aspect, you don't lose your progress. If you resume your game at any time, your progress file is still there. It's not been deleted. You don't lose what you've built in the game or your engagement with the game. So it's about feeling comfortable not owning your game. I still have two boxes. I'm not reading the rest of this shit. But basically saying it's like, if you want subscription to take off, you got to get comfortable not owning your games. And obviously that caused a whole bunch of controversy on Twitter, you know? My thing is like, you don't own your fucking games anyway. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, please tell me if I'm wrong here. Like, to me, that this is just a transportation vehicle for the game to put on your console. So you don't really own it. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's very tenuous at best.
It's the ability to subvert whenever they pull the bullshit of pulling off that stuff off of their networks, you know?
Yeah, that's the only thing. But like, even if that happens, like if they stop updating the game. Like, yeah, you can still play, but no updates or anything. Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Not just that. I think he wants to establish a narrative where if Ubisoft, for any kind of legal reason or financial reason, whatever, wants to pull a Warner Brothers and pull a game back from you, right? They're like, we can't have this game out in the wild anymore. And reach out and delete it, right? You're going to have a whole bunch of problems if you own it, right? If you paid full price for it. So that's what they want to kind of change, is discussion like, you don't own your games, right? Which is bullshit. You should own your games, because then all you're going to do is drive people to piracy, and then they can say, well, I can't pirate anything. I can't pirate something or steal something that you can't own, right? So yeah. Fuck off. And that's going to create a whole other issue. So this is a very kind of dangerous rhetoric he's going off of. It's like, oh, well, we want this legal protection so you can't sue us, because you don't technically own the product. So if we pull it back, mm-hmm. then, you know, that's on you. It's not on us, right? And but if you do own it, right, then you can start you have some kind of legal recourse. So that's a dangerous road to go down, because all you're going to do is just have people sail the high seas and just get whatever it is and crack it and whatever, and just not pay you and not do your service. They're not going to go on Uplay if they have a danger of losing whatever it is they purchased. I'll put in air quotes.
Yeah,
whatever they're paying for.
But he's literally saying that quote is like, you will own nothing and be happy. He's
That's no good. That's no good.
Yeah.
I want to read what Blitz said. I've seen a few people say this. Ubisoft needs to get comfortable with people not buying their games.
they got to get comfortable with not making any money.
I saw because, a couple of people saying
inherently most of these streaming services, and we're seeing now the companies are essentially trying to merge into each other, because streaming service inherently, unless everybody is on it, they don't make enough money to sustain themselves. So if Ubisoft thinks that they could throw another subscription service into the bag and expect their titles to be strong enough for people to come along, they got another thing coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's a foolish strategy. They already have Uplay, right? And what they're going to do is try to lock things into exclusivity on there. But at the minute you put a Yule in front of people, gamers are a little more discerning now. Some of them, not all. And they're going to look at that and go, hey, this says at any freaking time, if you feel like it, you could wipe this off my system, right? That's no good. That's what that's my fear with this rhetoric. It's like they already can do it. But you run into all sorts of a legal gray area, right? That it's like, mm-hmm. I gave you money for a product. Then if you reach out and take that product, I deserve a refund. If I don't get a refund, I'm going to sue you for it, right? And that's I think they want to remove that legal hurdle from people, right? And that's a dangerous story. It's like, yeah, I won't ever give you money for anything if I have no guarantee that I can keep it for however long I want to play it, or however long I have the system, or however long your service exists, right? But that, you know, that's out the window with this new talking point.
Barry Byrne says, even if I buy the game, I'm still cracking it.
Sure.
Oh, man. But yeah, so I even, you know, kind of mixing some things together. So I know you guys had Rich on to talk about Prince of Persia. I saw some people on Twitter saying they should boycott Prince of Persia because of this. Like, oh, they want to take away our games? Fuck you. You know, we're gonna hurt this game.
Mm-hmm.
Gamers are interesting to me, man. I don't really have, you know, I don't really have any strong feelings about this one way or another.
Here's the problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you do that, they will not understand why the sales are bad. They are not clever enough to put two and two together.
Won't, yeah,
actually, yeah, they're going to be like,
you know what they're going to say if people don't buy.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, people don't like Prince of Persia games. We won't make those anymore. The idea is to push buying their games on system, like buying the actual versions of those games. Like, in other words, if it's on a digital store, you buy that digital version. Don't subscribe to their service. That is how you speak to them.
Yeah, yeah. Don't hurt the game.
You show them what you do and don't want.
Yeah, you hurt their subscription service. Don't hurt the game.
Yeah, you know? Don't hurt the game. Yeah, in other words, if you want them to support, like, you know, at least, you know, a digital edition of a game, or even the physical version of a game, you want them, you want to, you know, support that specific thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, does anybody have any strong feelings about this? I kind of don't.
No.
I
no
mean, to be honest, I haven't had feelings.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. No, there's no real strong feelings either way. It's kind of a situation where I understand what he's trying to say, which is his statements are made from the point of view of Uplay and its subscription service, which is not doing too well because no one likes it for many reasons, which is, okay, fine. So hence, I think he's trying to make an excuse for why that's not doing well, which is that people like buying physical games, but that's not the truth. Because again, Game Pass is also doing quite well. So I think it's wrong for him to say that, or it's wrong for him to use the excuse that people like physical games, hence why Uplay Plus is not doing well, which is not correct in my opinion. And then that all got taken into what we see now, and then the backlash against Ubisoft for saying such a dumb thing. So it's kind of a case of he was wrong twice in one go, which is quite an achievement. So well done to him. And now, again, I'm just like, again, as Chris says, can you pirate something that you can't own? And that's the main question. It's like, can you? Because again, if you can't own it, then I don't know, you know. Again, it goes back to what we talked about piracy, like it's based on ownership. So if you can't own it, then you can pirate it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a very dumb statement, and they really should not have made that. But at the same time, it's Ubisoft. They seem to be in a weird self-destructive wave at the moment, so let them do it.
Yeah, it's true. Man, if Adam was here, I wonder if he'd defend this shit. You know, he loves him some Ubisoft. Carlos, you have any thoughts on this shit?
No, just the simple fact that this is sort of a trend that we've been seeing more and more throughout the years. Like, it's just this slow moving thing where, you know, everyone can see that it's coming. And
yeah,
the way that he put it in that message there, it's just it's blunt, but it's kind of true. So I don't know. I'm not a physical gamer, a physical game owner anymore.
Carlos, so I don't have strong feelings. You think that's the reason you and I don't have strong feelings, because I don't buy physical games either.
That's why. Here, that's why I'm there. I'm like, I do.
But here,
yeah.
But here's the thing: when you're buying, you're still buying something.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a digital file, you're still buying something. In a subscription program, you are not buying anything.
Yeah.
You're just paying for the subscription. And this is what he's talking about. That to the point where, in other words, what Chris was talking about, where, in other words, is a situation where, like what happened with the Ninja Turtles game years ago that Ubisoft did, that they can just pull it off and you could never retrieve that game ever again.
Yeah.
Because you're not really buying it, you're only paying for a license. So it means that they've adjusted the way their their contracts work. You know, whenever you sign up, you sign up for their service, it says in there somewhere that you don't specifically own any of the titles on here. We have the right to remove them without any sort of warning, or you being able to retrieve these games ever again after it's done.
What was that line that Darth Vader said? It's like, I have changed the plan or some shit like that. You know what I'm talking about, you know.
He's altered the agreement.
Yeah, there is. But I think, you know, I'm glad you bring up the Ninja Turtles thing. That instance taught me, oh, I don't own any of these games, you know. So
yep.
So that's
so why. So you're, yeah.
So to
but then
me,
why
yeah,
are
so,
they charging? Yeah. Well, why are they charging you $60 and $70
for
something
that
you don't own? That brings up so many things.
Yeah, because they're greedy. That's why because they know you want that fix,
and then again, they don't want you to be able to access your game again. They want to sell you a remaster.
Yep.
3 years later.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know. Exactly. Couldn't Sony just make a patch? Couldn't Naughty Dog have just made a patch to essentially achieve all the same shit that they're doing with the remaster of The Last of Us?
Yeah, they could, but they want to get your money.
They want to sell you another.
You know?
They want to sell
you. So again, I've already made peace with that. It's like, I don't own these games, so whatever it is. To me, if I buy it, whether I buy it or get it from subscription, same thing in the end. you know.
Again, like, and then again, like, it's like, you know, you what is the coveted thing that a lot of PC guys right now? Oh, they're digital.
They're all digital, you know, on Steam. On
you know, PC, I mean, your digital, your Steam digital library.
Yeah.
In the realm of Ubisoft, they can remove all of that shit.
They can, and
you can't even access that again. So what is the use of buying anything on their service?
Yeah. No, you're right.
You can't access it ever again. Like, oh, we're having a sale on Assassin's Creed games. Oh, great. I'll snag all the Assassin's Creed games. Oh, but they're only going to be there for a month. Sorry, guys. Yeah.
Xbox Game Pass does that shit too. You know, they eventually take stuff off. I'm going to read a
comment. They take stuff off of Game Pass, but you're still able to buy the game. And if you downloaded the game at any point, you can essentially buy the game back, right? And you get a discount. So they at least make it okay for you. Like, okay, yeah, you don't have it on Game Pass anymore. It's not on there. But they take off a pretty good chunk if you decide you really like the game and you buy it.
Yeah. Take a 20% or something. I think that's fair.
For me, when I sold my game collection, when I sold it, what was it 4 years ago? That's when I lost all attachment to gaming.
Oh, when you sold your physical collection, right?
Yes, when I sold my physical collection, that's where I lost all my tangible, like, you know, connection to video games as part of the ownership phase. You know, like, because back then, you know, we had cartridges, we had, you know, the discs, you have the SNES collection and all those games, right?
Physical.
And you know, you have them and you put them on your wall, or you put them on, you know, your shelf or whatever. But after I sold them, I'm like, the video games became so much more disposable for me. They weren't something where I'm like, oh, like, this is mine. Like, this is my copy of Final Fantasy VII, the three discs. This is my copy of the golden A Link to the Past NES cartridge, or anything like that. It just became disposable media for me. I know that's not the case for everyone here.
But no, that happened to me years ago, and is actually probably one of the big reasons why I'm a proponent of things like Game Pass. Like, since I was young, I know a lot of guys had to make our, you know, buy our own shit, but like, the only way I could afford new gaming was to metabolize and sell some of the old games. So, like, to me, it's been disposable almost from the get-go. This Blockbuster and selling my game collection to buy new game collections was always kind of a thing. But I also understand the other side of, like, having it be, like, this personal, tangible, physical thing and severing that. So, like, no, I actually think you bring up a really good point that's going to be kind of a binary difference between a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carlos, I don't have that same origin story, but I kind of came to the same conclusion regardless. But for me, it was like around 2014, where I was like, when I realized, like, oh, wait, like, I have to install the entire game onto the PlayStation. Why not cut out the middleman and just download them? And that's when I stopped buying physical games. Like, what's the point? You know?
And I think you and I hit it at the same time, because I remember having these conversations with you.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Dude, what the fuck's the point anymore?
Yeah, yeah, we probably had that shit on air. Again, we've been around that long. We were here when the PlayStation 4 launched, man. Crazy. But yeah, so me, you know, whatever. I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter to me.
I just think the minute that you start, it doesn't even matter if it's a physical game. It's buying something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is the key, because to begin again, like I said, all these streaming services out there are all realizing that they're not making any fucking money because there's nobody actually buying anything.
Yeah.
Even if it is just a file or a movie or whatever that is. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. But I think I've just come to peace with that. It's like, even if I buy it, it's not really mine. I already accepted that.
Oh, no. But I mean, but again, like, it's like, that's the portion of owning your thing, like being able to access it at the same on a later date. Like, at least nowadays, you know, there's still quite a bit. Granted, there are still a lot of things that have been delisted from the PlayStation 3, but for the most part, you can actually go back and search through all of your old purchases and get all, you know, access all of those games. Not PT, but then again, you didn't buy that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also another thing, for example, there's games like the remakes for Resident Evil 2 and 3. Those games in 10 years, you're not going to be able to play them, even if you still have them on your console, because those servers are not going to be up.
Yeah.
And that's another wrinkle to this whole thing. It's just the dependency, the DRM that it has on dependencies on either internet connections or the handshakes and all that stuff that will make some games obsolete after the servers go down. And, you know, it's just for me, it's just too much. And Tony, I had, you know, even though we didn't have the exact same origin story, I, you know, the whole install thing with, you know, freaking, like, I just think of Metal Gear 4 always as the example. Yeah. It's like, why do I have all these installs for this? I can just download the whole game. Well, now I can just download the whole game and it'll just be there without the need of disc, because the discs are too slow to read, you know, to play them these days. So yeah, I, you know, gaming is just something that's is like I mentioned earlier, it's just more disposable for me at this point, and I don't really have that clinginess to quote unquote my property, my gaming property, that is.
Yeah. And it also goes with and again, I probably shouldn't admit this, you know, being the fact that I'm a fucking hosting a video game podcast, but I also just don't care about games as much as I used to. So I, you know what, I'm just like, whatever, gives a shit, you know, because I'm not gonna replay fucking you know, I'm not gonna replay Spider-Man in 2030 or something. Like, if I beat it, I'm done, you know. I don't really
have to go back. Well, our nostalgia is all way behind us.
Yeah.
For us, we're all in our 30s and 40s. You know, Ghouls and Goblins is our nostalgia. You know, Super Mario 64 or any of the Super Marios from the Nintendo era, from the old Nintendo era. That's our nostalgia. Freaking, we're not gonna be like, God damn it! We're 60, 70 years old. We're like, I just want to play fucking Horizon Forbidden West.
Yeah, right. Like, that ain't happening. I'm never gonna play a game ever again. You know, so I don't care. But I understand some people do. So I wish there's a way for you guys to keep your games. But me personally, I don't give a shit. You know,
Adam will find a way.
Yeah, Adam. You know, Adam will. I want to read some comments here. Mr. Blitz, who's obviously a big proponent of the physical. You know. I've been through the digital life during the 360 and Xbox One days, and when I ditched Xbox, I ended up with nothing. So now I've reverted back to physical, and being an old cunt, I like to see shit on my shelves, lol. Depends on an old cunt, because I think...
No, I'm full power with you. The world is not in favor of letting that happen.
Yeah.
It's getting harder and harder to do, but fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, in spirit, I'm with you. You know, I'm in spirit, I'm with you. But like you said, Brett, the world's not going that way, you know? Blitzosa, I agree with Carlos. When it's digital, it's just a thing on my system, and I have less pull to actually play things because it's there or gone at the push of a button. Picking up and putting in a cartridge or disc means I'm more committed to play. Also, having less and less game time means having those Netflix-style moments of looking at all the content and not being able to decide what to play, so end up playing nothing. I can put my GT2 disc in my PS1 and play that. Soon, my digital copy of GT Sport will no longer be playable. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you know you're going to go back to those old-ass games, keep them, you know?
Okay, so you're right. Here's the thing. This is why Fortnite is doing what it's doing. So that you don't think about what game you're playing. You just jump into the Fortnite lobby and pick a racing game or a building game or a shooting game.
Fucking fighting game. It's like the gruel of gaming. It's just this slop, this like homogenous thing, you know?
It's a big old buffet in one game.
Yeah, oh yeah, that too. To think about wait, no, Chris, you have a name for this. The Applebee's of gaming, you know. The
Applebee's, man. I mean, no, there's no such thing as Applebee's anymore. Didn't they go out of business?
No, they're still around.
They're still around.
Fridays went out of business.
Yeah, no, Applebee's is still around. As a matter of fact, remember that Applebee's we went to after we saw Expendables? That shit's still there, you know.
And if I'm not mistaken, there's still a TGI Fridays by.
I believe so. Yeah.
Midtown, Times Square.
Oh yeah, that shit's been there, man. Yeah, but yeah, that Brett, but your point is 100% on that. Fortnite doesn't just want to be a video game; it wants to be the video game. It wants to be every video game. you know.
But it also,
but even, but even, the, even they have been experiencing losses because they can't keep up with a with the changing aspect of gaming. You know, yeah. Nothing lasts forever.
Even cold November rain. Go ahead, Brett.
This staring at that wall of content is becoming an issue that more and more companies and people are becoming aware of. And I think that's why the next Holy Grail is almost like the Ready Player One, jump into any game from a single access point. Who's going to get to be that access point? So I think that's the new top of the mountain that a lot
of PlayStation Home.
Oh, God.
PlayStation Home would fucking kill right now, I feel like.
Well, Second Life's doing well right now.
Second Life doesn't really not. I mean, it always does the same numbers. It definitely doesn't go up or down. It's like it's an install base now. So you know, people just continue to do it.
Go ahead.
Would it also be on your mobile phone?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm not sure because you're right. That's where people live now, Brett. You're right, on their phones. You know, good point. Good question. I'm not sure. Oh, by the way, remember on PlayStation Home, we could buy the Hip Hop Gamer Belt.
Well, no, I remember, Hip Hop Gamer's Belt was like a DLC that you could get as long as you went to the event.
Yeah, spin a belt, you got spin
like
a belt.
Like a spinning belt, yeah.
Yeah.
I never got Hip Hop Gamer's Belt.
I got the belt, you know. By the way, Manny's shooting about that. Yeah, shooting about that, right? With the same subject. All that shit I bought at home, gone.
All that stuff is gone. Like, well, I mean, not the telltale sign on that is like you're not even saving any of that on your drive.
Yeah,
that's why it took so long to access it, because it always had to ping the network and be like, okay, this is all the shit you got.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I would always buy stuff like, you know how you always have a little bit of leftover money and shit when you buy a game. I just bought little things, but yeah.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, yeah, grant,
they
were,
but
like,
they served their purpose. Like, that's 90, the way I see it. You know,
they were like 99. They're like 99 cents, or real something cheap, like that, yeah. Or something like cheap, really, really cheap. But you could eat. But that's the rope-a-dope, and that's the thing I always say about the comic industry. You should never question what you know your purchase. If you're going to be like, oh, you know, it's just a little something here,
yeah,
it's and supposed then you to just spend it. That's that's what it should be disposable.
Yeah,
and that's what I mean. If we're going into a realm. If we're in a realm that, okay, we don't own the things that we didn't do, then why the fuck are they so expensive? Drop the prices, because you know what? If you don't own it, it just means that it's something that's supposed to, you're throwing it away. It's throwing a comic book, you know what, a 25-cent comic or a dollar comic into the trash.
Yeah, but you know, they're
people greedy. Are good. People are okay. People are okay with things being not with all those things, not fully owning things when there's not a lot of money that's being spent into it. Are you telling me you're just going to throw what is it, $60 or $70 in the garbage?
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, and that's why people kind of hold on to games more than, like, you know, even with DVDs, like $20, like, okay, whatever, you know. I mean, $20 is money, but it's not $60, you know. That's why physical game people are, like, really adamant about this. That's a lot of money.
But, yeah, you're spending a pretty,
so I
a
get
pretty
it, you
decent
know?
Amount of money on a game. Like, you could do a couple, quite a bit of other things with, you know, still with $60 and $70 these days. And especially a lot of these guys who are, you know, like constantly blowing that money, you know, like three or four times a month. That's a lot of money that you're putting out the door. So would you want to be able to continue to access this thing that you spent $60 or $70 continuously? Yes, you fucking would.
Yeah. But yeah. But this is where things are going, you know. So, yeah. There was something I want to say, but I forgot it. Oh, yeah. That's what it was. Carlos, Brian, remember John Shaw? Fuck home. She's a dollhouse. She's
a dollhouse.
Yeah. Oh, man. John Shaw. Character.
Who is that guy? Why wasn't he at CES?
I don't know. I will not comment. All right. the last story here. This one, I had to throw this because it's fucking hilarious. GameStop is closing down its NFT marketplace.
Oh wow. What a fucking loss, because everybody knew it was a bunch of fucking scam bullshit.
Yep. Right? I got a reason. Go ahead.
No!
The Vader, just like, cue the like Vader meme.
Like Darth Vader from I mean, now we're waiting for Square Enix to realize that, because they're still talking about it in those stupid releases. Oh, or what to concentrate on, our NFT business.
Okay, I got to read this shit. This is GameStop's statement. GameStop has decided to wind down our NFT marketplace due to the continuing regulatory uncertainty of crypto space. No, you're winding down because no one's buying your stupid shit. That's why. Fuck out of here with regulatory.
Not enough people are putting real money into our fake garbage.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's good not about riddance. Regulatory bullshit. So it says, the last thing, effective February 2nd, customers will no longer be able to buy, sell, or create NFTs. Your NFT, here we go. I'm sure your NFTs on the blockchain will remain accessible and sellable throughout other platforms. No one gives a fuck, dude. No one cares. No one bought your shit. That's why you're winding it down. It's not because of regulatory anything. It's because nobody bought your stupid shit. Nobody bought your ugly ass gifts. You know? I'm so glad that NFT shit is done, man. I'm so glad, you know, but you still got these stupid ape bros trying to hawk their shit, talking about how it's going to make a resurgence. No, it's not. Shit is dead, you know, and these fucking idiots talking about, oh, NFT's the future. They look like dumbasses now, you know, with your ugly ass apes, you know. People are really fucking stupid, man. Like, you really are really fucking stupid. And you see this, like, what was that whole thing in, like, the medieval times, the tulip shit? Motherfuckers thought they were going to get rich off of tulips. Like, this is a thing that's always happened. People think they see some get-rich-quick scheme. That's not really get-rich-quick, and they fall for it every fucking time, you know? It's crazy. Anyway, I'm glad this is done. Fuck NFTs. NFT stands for not for Tony. That's what it means to me, you know?
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah. It works. All right. So that's pretty much it. That's the show. Do we have anything to plug around here?
Still waiting for the Rick and Michonne show.
Oh, shit. And still wait for Adam to come back. You know?
So we're still waiting on Adam.
What's going on with Adam?
Where are you, Adam? Yeah. Where are you?
Your man, it's your cousin, man. What's going on with him, man? You should know.
I don't know. I know I'm helping my aunt to, you know, move, but that's about it. Adam don't talk to me. Yeah.
What's up Adam, with that, man?
Adam is still alive.
He talks more to you guys. I sent him a Merry Christmas. I called him on Christmas, and he didn't pick up the phone. But that's normal for Adam. He never picks up the phone. Him and my brother.
Every time, not lately, but every time I like text him, just straight text, nothing, right? But when I text him in that group chat, he's there. Yeah, what he's the there. Fuck, man? You know,
does it have some of the magical words like maybe we
need to start putting keywords in there, you know, like things that keep the, you know, like, you know, Gears of War, Call of Duty,
Steam Deck,
you gotta have something, you know, just put all the Guadalupe words in there. We'll see which one gets a hit.
What's up,
Brian?
You know how to reach him best, and you guys haven't listened to what he said. The best way to reach him is through emails.
Yes, that's email.
Send him an email. That's it. Don't text him. Don't text him. Don't call him. Whatever. Just email him, and then he'll get it.
Hey, I got the email.
I want to.
I'm gonna email him right now.
I'd be like, hey, Adam, we got a special offer right that you can only access right now. It's called calling me. Do it now.
anybody want to propose something for me to email Adam right now?
You mean besides where you at?
Here we go.
Email him, yo, what's going on with Ubisoft now?
No, just email him happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Adam. What's going on with Ubisoft?
Yeah. happy birthday.
Let's see if he responds to the email.
All right, what should the subject be? Gotta have something?
Or Guadalupe.
Guadalupe, okay, got it. Guadalupe.
Yo, by the way, off topic, but still on topic, so, you know, that's talking Spanish. You know that new feature that translates shit that the S24 has, the Galaxy phone? That shit works. It's crazy. You know?
Wait, what does it do?
The Galaxy S24, it like live, it has like some AI shit that live translates. So I was in the office today and my, you know, I was testing it. So my boss said, you know, like, hey, Tony, how you doing? And I replied in Spanish and it translated the shit, you know?
Oh, shit.
Like in real time, you know? It was crazy.
Damn.
I'm like, oh, so, you know, so basically he would say his thing, then it would say it in Spanish, right? And then I respond in Spanish, and then it would say it back to him in English, you know?
Hmm. And is it just Spanish right now, or is it
any language? But, you know, obviously, I don't know any other languages. I just know English and Spanish, but yeah. So, And the cool thing is, like, because one of the questions he asked me was, what are you doing right now? And I said, and it was like, you know, Spanglish. I said, yo estoy escribiendo el review del PlayStation. Right. And it said that it's like review and everything. So I don't know what the review is in Spanish. I don't know how to say that. And PlayStation's universal, you know, it was good. I was surprised. It's just, you know, the voice was like a female voice. And I'm wondering, since it's AI, can it replicate your voice? You know, like
eventually,
right? Like you would assume so. Because in the video, if you guys saw Samsung Unleashed or whatever this week, in the video, that's what it made it sound like. Motherfuckers talking and the thing replied in their voice, you know? But it was pretty interesting, you know? Blitz says no fucking thanks. But he's saying that about NFTs. I agree with you. Fuck NFTs, man. Anyway, we're out of here, man. So make sure you follow Throw It Down on Twitch and Twitter. We're also back on YouTube, people. You already know. Hit like, hit and subscribe and all that good stuff. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. We are also on every podcast app on the planet. Throw Down Show. Two words, Throw Down Show. And throw.com, throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes, the MP3 versions of our shows for your ears. And that's all connected. Links down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Manjoma.
Later, people.
Yes. Yes, Barry. AI Tony does hate NFTs. AI Tony's pretty much just like me. You know, there's no difference. You know, so AI Tony's good AI.
It's like Mega Tony from like the video game. You yeah. Fight yourself.
Pretty much. Oh, man. Imagine actually having a conversation with myself for hours in a fucking game. That'd be crazy. You know, I'm going to train an AI to be just like me. You know, host this fucking show. All right, man.
Next, you know, throw down 5 Tonys.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll pass the fucking, what's the name of that test, Brett? You can't tell if it's a human or not.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about. I wonder if it'll pass that test. Turing test. I wonder if it'll pass the Turing test. Anyway, we'll see you guys on Sunday, man. Later.
This
is.